B-Pod Studios.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriot season. Now, back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Raptors have the rebound. Norman Powell, offensive end. Marcus Smart races him down the length of the floor. Chase down block for Marcus Smart with the game on the line as we enter minute 48. Celtics hang on to the lead somehow.
The game. Good, a bit old school playoff basketball. Toronto Celtics, game 7. Great series, a really fun series to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And you had Marcus Smart making the plays when it counted. With the highlight you just heard is that magnificent block to seal the game, or to not seal the game at that point, but to
protect the lead
and essentially win the game at that point. But there you go.
Well, Fred, I was making a montage we started the show with today with some of the highlights from this series against the Raptors. And as I was going through it, it was getting very hard for me to make it not sound like it was a Marcus Smart montage. Because if you go back through the four games that they won, he was a major part of almost every one of the big plays, whether it be a steal that led to a Kemba Walker three, or it be an assist to Jason Tatum, or just like the clip that we played there where he blocks it. There was the game in game 5 where he ripped the ball out of whose hands was it? Van Fleet's hands, which led to, of course, to the Wanamaker three, which we know what Wanamaker is, and that's a superstar. But I mean, it all came down
handsome
to Marcus
too.
Smart. He is. He's a darn good looking gentleman. But I mean, if it's easy if you were to pick who was the MVP of this series. And it wouldn't even be the scoring that you would look at. It's just how he was involved in everything. And it's not even just the miracle stuff that he pulls out of his ass, like the 5 threes in a row, which are utterly absurd. He is a decent 3-point shooter now. And I think the teams have to start respecting that. And it looks like they started at the end of this series. But I mean, that was a really good Raptors team. That was a well-coached, a team that was hungry, that had players that truly wanted it. There weren't any like lagging shenanigans like you saw with the 76ers. The Raptors were a true test. And the Celtics went toe-to-toe. And you're right, Fred. It was old school. Defensively, I mean, it was everything. You're not going to see the Miami Heat's a really good team, and as a matter of fact, you know, you could say that it's going to be obviously a tough matchup, and who knows? I would still pick the Celtics in this series, but you're not going to see a team play better defensively from here on out than the Raptors did. They were dogs, and the Celtics found a way. And now that you've got Gordon Hayward potentially coming back, even though Brad Stevens couldn't commit to when that would be, he's there. He was chucking up shots before game 7. He's going to come back in. It's going to be interesting to see how they bring him back into the fold and whether or not, once he is fully healthy, if they take Marcus Smart out of that starting 5. That, to me, is probably the most interesting twist in all of this.
Two things. Well, I think we talked about this on Friday. Cedric Maxwell is the only person who thinks that Gordon Hayward should start. And his reasoning was because you get that ankle, you warm it up for 15 or 20 minutes. The last thing you want to do is sit down for another 15 or 20 minutes and let that thing cool off before you go play again. So that's something you have to factor in. But there's that chemistry, and you can see it with Smart in the starting lineup. It just, he gives you that little juice you need right at the start of basketball games, and it'd be real tough to pull him if I'm Brad Stevens.
Ainge seems very married to the idea of a sixth man, though. The one thing that he gets defensive about is if you call into question bringing a guy off the bench. He seems to have no quarter for the idea that, you know, the starting lineup are your 5 best players, your 5 most effective players. I mean, he does get defensive about that.
Historically speaking, here, there is, I mean, Kevin McHale,
yes,
a perfect example, is the sixth man, and that's Ainge's time.
But he gets crotchety when the idea of, because we've addressed it with Marcus Smart with him, and he gets very crotchety if you act like that is of any kind of concern to him. So take that for what it's worth. They seemed married to bringing him off the bench, but it will be interesting.
Yeah,
to see what they do.
And
I don't even know if it matters, quite frankly. I mean, so, Hayward's in for 5 minutes, beginning of the game.
Right. Yeah.
While everyone's feeling each other out. I mean, who cares?
Sure. I mean, you know, right. It's not who starts the game, but who ends the game. And it's not
Marcus Smart's going to be in there at the end of the game.
Yeah, there's no question. The other thing, too, is that, you know, there's if you haven't seen the Heat play that much, first of all, you're going to have a nice little Sweet Prince returning, Mr. Kelly Olynyk, clomping on down the court.
He always looks like he's going to take a dump with his stupid shorts.
With his big teeth.
Yeah, his big,
he is a mouth breather.
Teeth.
There is a mouth breather on that team, and his name is Kelly Olynyk.
Again, and this seems to offend some male listeners, but I will tell you, I think Kelly Olynyk has trouble getting laid. Despite his money and his station in life, that is a tough pill to swallow if you're a young lady.
We've talked about this, and my contention is that if you're an NBA player, it's not tough, but we did a five call says it all, and I think four out of the five women said nope.
Okay,
that's someone I would pass on.
So say like you're a tiny fat 60-year-old. That's not you kind of just lay there and just like, all right, this is worth the money if you're a certain kind of person. Mm-hmm. Kelly Olynyk, 7 feet tall, you know, 6'11", 500 pounds. I mean, you get that thing on top of you with that stupid face and greasy hair.
Yeah. It's like standing in front of a heater when he's breathing.
Yeah, exactly. He's all sweating on you. I've thought about this a lot. He's all sweating on you. And then when it's over, he's like, and those teeth, big brown teeth, jacked and looking at you. Yeah, he's annoying when he shoots threes, and then when he shoots a three, and then he's all confident, and he starts like backpedaling. Shut up, Olynyk.
although he's not the ex-Celtic that you're gonna have to worry about. I mean, he's good.
I've seen him play well in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Game
he's been good.
7 against Washington a couple of years ago.
Well, I mean, that was you're never gonna
That's
see
the
that
Kelly
again,
Olynyk
ever.
Game. Yeah,
right. I mean, that was like his magical day where nothing could go. I mean, honestly, you'll never have a game like that again from Kelly Olynyk. By the way, record that in case.
I know. I'm just gonna say, watch what happens.
Jinx that right there.
But don't really check your ass cam
about Kelly Olynyk, of course.
Right.
But the main guy that is really going to piss people off is going to be Jay Crowder, because Jay Crowder has been excellent from three since he's been in the playoffs. I mean, he's like, I think he's hitting 39%. I mean, he's been killing it from three, and he's been dangerous. One of their better players since they've started the postseason. And you got to think, he's a guy also, you know, there's a lot of players who played for the Celtics who leave and can't say anything but great things about it. And maybe he thinks that way about the Celtics. He sure as hell doesn't think that about Gordon Hayward. And we know that because he's been very vocal about that. We remember when Gordon Hayward came in before he was on the team, and what was the team? What was the crowd chanting? Like
whatever it was, Gordon. Super racist.
I don't know. But he took great offense to it.
No,
he did.
Remember, it became this big like racial thing. That
sure. I think Jay Crowder might have been the one who said something about that. Or I could
think
be wrong.
Crowder was insinuating racism on the part of the fans, but I might be mistaken. But I just know that there was a contingent of media. And I don't know if Jay Crowder was a part of this cool dialogue that was an obscenely racist act by the Boston fans to one Gordon Hayward.
It was like, I think it was when they announced Hayward, the crowd went crazy.
Yeah,
I believe
that was this thing. It was what they did for Durant and everything. It was, you know, people wanted him to come here, and so they were showing their appreciation. And that was deemed as the fans only wanted a white guy. They were only cheering because they wanted a Caucasian to be on the team.
Well, this is going to be an easy team to hate. Like the Raptors, there wasn't really anything. You know, Nick Nurse was annoying. But, I mean, they weren't like a great villain except for just how well they played. There's a lot of stuff to hate about this Miami team. Tyler Herro, as you said, Fred. By the way, he's been excellent as well.
I hate him. I hated him in college. A hero.
He's like just awful. Just from the clothes he wore on draft night to the hard scrabble life he proclaimed he had in suburban Milwaukee.
Not suburban. Mm-hmm. Like he was in a hick town in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he was telling everyone how tough he had it when he was younger.
He's
going to
hit a dagger in clutch minutes, and it's going to piss you off.
Yes, he's a great three-point shooter. He's a good player. And the guy who is people really going to hate is Jimmy Butler. Butler does, and we had argued about this last week, Rich, and I continue to disagree with you. Butler gets the star treatment. He draws a ton of fouls. And in the playoffs, I think it's 11 free throws a night. I mean, he gets to the line a lot. I think that he is going to be the guy who you can't stand by the end of this. I mean, look, Jay Crowder is what he is. He shoots a lot of threes, but Butler's the guy he's good.
But, John, the thing is that you kind of let a star, you kind of know what the NBA is, and you know that a star is going to get calls in this and that. A guy like Hero is just, first of all, I don't think that's not how you're supposed to pronounce his name. I think he just
they
made that
say
up.
Hero.
I
yeah,
know, but like I think that his family made it up.
Yes. I
they want him to be, you're the hero, man.
Yeah. I think that it was like Hero. And then his family was just like, you know what would be cool if we called you Hero? So, yeah, I mean, he's just like an annoying dumbass off the bench just being stupid.
Yeah, I mean, he is a...
Wait, you're going to hate him. I want to see what is he again? He's an annoying dumbass who's acting stupid?
No, he's just off the bench being all dumb.
Being all dumb, okay.
Yeah, like coming off screens. And
yeah, I mean...
Picking rolls beyond the arc, and he's...
Right.
He's flashing out and catch and shoot guy.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're going to hate him. Celtics, by the way, still have the best player on the court. Like, if you just take a look at statistics, Jason Tatum's the best player between both teams. Even Jimmy Butler, the way he's been playing in the postseason. And you know what? I would say that Jaylen Brown, that's the thing, is that Jimmy Butler obviously is a maniac, but they don't have outside of, they maybe have one player that can defend in the perimeter. And the Celtics just have too many good 3-point shooters. This is going to be I think the Celtics win this. I think it goes maybe 6 games. I think it's going to be an easier matchup than what you saw from Toronto. I also don't think that the road for the Heat to get to where they are was anywhere near as hard as what the Celtics just had to go through with Toronto. So, I mean, they've been battle-tested. I think they're the better team. They have more better players, but doesn't mean that you're not going to just absolutely loathe this team by the time it's over with. And I love it, too, because it's going to bring out ask Danny Ainge about it. It's going to bring out the old feelings between him and Pat Riley. Anytime there's a head-to-head like that, you know that it's personal. And the Karate Kid, who's a great coach, Eric Spoelstra, he's going to piss you off as well. There's a lot of great things to look forward to and a lot of great things to hate about this Miami team.
And Giannis, by the way, unfollowing the Milwaukee Bucks.
Everyone on the team.
He's only following like 9 people right now.
Right. Oh, Instagram, he just stopped following everyone.
I'm telling you, he's going to, it's super team time, baby. Can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. Get him the hell out of the East.
Yeah, well, it's just what's wonderful about the NBA is that obviously he wouldn't stay in Milwaukee for a tons and tons of money. It's just too much for him to. It's too much to ask for someone to be worth. I got news for you. Anywhere you live, if you got hundreds of millions of dollars, is all right. It's pretty much all the same,
unless it's warm as opposed to cold.
I know because they have no access to anything, any place warm.
Ask Cedric Maxwell. Not the biggest fan of Milwaukee. Would rather be anywhere but there.
There's a lot. I'd rather be in Milwaukee than Miami.
Why?
Because Miami's a cesspool of garbage. Miami's awful. I tell you, I've said it before. Everyone in Miami looks like Crash, or they. You can tell a guy from Florida when you see him. They always have like a goatee. Well, and like a
that's Crash. You're 1-for-1.
Like in the sleeves cut off,
so
their
Nick
T-shirt.
Nurse lives in Miami.
2-for-2.
Yeah, you can tell who they are. They all look like the MILF Hunter. To bring that back around. All right, we'll be back with Jeff Howe. We'll talk about the New England Patriots.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brookhead now to the backfield in motion left. Newton fakes to him, rolls to the right. Cam's going to run it to the 10, outside to the 5. Newton to the pylon.
Got
touchdown,
it.
Yeah. Patriots, his second in his New England debut.
That's a man right there, boy.
Woo!
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Patriots with the first game of the Cam Newton era. Might be an era that's 4 games, might be an era that's 4 years. Who knows? But we do know Jeff Howe is Johnny on the Spot. Captain Game Pants. shaved his head for the charity. He's all over the place. He covers the Patriots for The Athletic, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Jeff Howe, hello, sir.
Hey, how we doing?
We are we're cooking with gas, my friend. We got football fever over here. And a nice display by Cam Newton yesterday. I have the feeling, Jeff Howe, and tell me if I'm speaking out of school, that he will not run, what was it, 15 times. I don't think he will run 15 times in a game this season. Am I wrong with that? It seemed a rather basic situation with a lot of run-pass options and things of that nature. I don't think that happens against Seattle.
No, probably not. For one, that was the second most times in his career that he's run with the football.
Right.
And, you know, they had an extremely run-heavy offense in Carolina for basically the last decade as well. So I think that was more of an aberration, but it was also, it was working. So it's like, why stop what was working against the Dolphins? I mean, there are going to be teams that are going to be able to adjust better, I think, than Miami was able to yesterday. They're going to have a better plan now that they've seen what Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels are capable of doing. But, you know, that was a creatively designed game plan by Josh McDaniels, and it was well executed on behalf of Cam Newton. And, you know, he was in a rhythm with what he was seeing before the snap, and then a lot of his read option plays he read them almost perfectly, almost every time. That's why he saw the big holes when he handed it off or, you know, kept it himself. It was. I was impressed. It looked better than I expected it to yesterday.
No, he was very good. I don't get me wrong. I mean, he was. I mean, if you look around the NFL, you look like the top 10 quarterback. But are you worried about the wear and tear on him? You know, running like that and taking punishment.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to be with anybody. But, you know, he's had four surgeries in the last 6 years. And when you run that much, you're obviously going to be susceptible to some bigger hits. And there were some times yesterday when he took some hard shots. I mean, right before that was that third down scramble, right before the fourth and one conversion down by the goal line that, you know, preceded Sony Michel's touchdown. He took a hard shot to the leg, got up. He was a little gimpy as he was walking back toward the huddle, and I'm like, oh, geez, you know, it starts already. But, you know, you're looking at him, he's got a big smile, he's talking trash to the Dolphins. So, you know, it's stuff that he's used to. And, you know, I think if, you know, when we see that type of hit on a guy like Tom Brady, everybody would probably, you know, take a deeper breath than usual. But, you know, I think if you relate it to Cam Newton, that's the way he's been playing football for his whole life. So I think he's also more used to taking hits like that. So for him, it's just football. But I think, you know, as we kind of get to learn his game more up here in New England, and you think about his injury history, of course, you start to wonder how many of those hits can a guy like that take. But, you know, I guess we'll see. But I think the good sign, too, is, you know, right after he did take that hit, which I think was probably the second or third time in the game he did take a hard one, they still called a power run play with putting the ball in his hands in that fourth and one goal line situation. So they weren't clearly that worried about it either.
And despite as much as he ran yesterday, his arm looked great. And that's why, I mean, as much as it's like N'Keal Harry won't let us like him. It's like the moment things start to get rolling, you saw what happened with him barfing up the ball over there at the end zone. From what you saw in the preseason and what you saw yesterday, how much confidence do you have that this is going to be a situation that's able to be fixed?
You mean with Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be inconsistent. He was inconsistent throughout training camp. Last year, he was inconsistent in training camp. I mean, he will – every day it seems like he's going to make a really fascinating type of play that makes you say, wow. And every day he's going to do something that makes you just sit there and say, you know, what is going on here? I mean, he didn't make any wow plays yesterday, but, you know, that fumble through the goal line happens on a drive when he had four catches for 33 yards. So that was his best possession as a Patriot, and it ended with him fumbling it through the end zone and coughing up a chance to go up 21-3, and for the only time in the game gave the Dolphins life. I mean, there was one moment in training camp, it's like I'll probably remember this for, you know, as long as he's in the league. He breaks wide open in the back of the end zone, beats J.C. Jackson, Cam Newton finds him, he's wide open. I mean, he's got the entire half of the field to himself. And Cam Newton delivers a perfect pass, and Harry catches it, puts 1 foot into the end zone and 1 foot out of the end zone. And that was the day they had the officials, and what should have been an easy touchdown ends up being an incompletion. It's just like, you know, the inconsistencies are a bit maddening with him. If he ever puts it all together, I mean, you know physically what he's capable of, but he's still got a ways to go.
Jeff, one of the great things, one of the many great things about the Patriots offense over the last two decades is they could be different from week to week. 1 week, they run the ball a ton. The next week, they go empty and fire 50 passes, and Brady threw the ball all over the place. I watched what Cam Newton did yesterday, and one of the things that went through my mind is, this is great, but if they're down two touchdowns, is this all they have? Can Cam Newton command an empty backfield and throw 40 or 50 passes in a game? Is that what this offense can do?
We don't know yet. That's, you know, it's a good question, because, you know, what you saw yesterday was fairly basic stuff. I mean, the passing game was quick strikes, you know, slants, taking advantage of an extremely confused set of linebackers that Miami had. I mean, and a lot of that slant stuff was based off of, you know, drawing the linebackers closer to the line, opening up those holes over the middle. You know, that was pretty, you know, basic stuff. And you look at that and you say, how sustainable is that over 16 games? Well, it's not, but I think you're going to have different game plans, like you said, for different types of defenses. I mean, I think a defense like Seattle is going to be able to, you know, try to adjust to that better, especially, again, if you're going to try, if you're Seattle, you're going to go into next week saying, take away the passes over the middle. Just do whatever you can to take away the passes over the middle. But, you know, then how are the Patriots going to adjust to that? I think it's going to be an exciting experience for a guy like Josh McDaniels, who has called the game, you know, basically the same way for the last 10, 12 years. And now he gets to do things a whole lot differently because he's got a quarterback like Cam Newton, who's so versatile. So there's still a lot to learn. And, you know, the other thing is, he's basically only been working on the field with Cam Newton for 4 weeks. And the way that they had the game plan set up yesterday, no rookies, offense or defense, had any substantial impact. I mean, Kyle Duggar's 11 snaps led the rookies. Devin Asiasi, who I thought, you know, I would have bet money on Devin Asiasi leading the tight ends and snaps yesterday, only played 10, and Ryan Izzo was in there for all but one. So this is going to evolve in more ways than just Newton.
Okay, so real quick, let me ask you this, because this is a big story that broke over the weekend. I think Burt Breer was the first one to report it, but according to Burt, the Patriots, before all of the, I guess it was before the draft, and I guess before all the opt-outs with Hightower and Chung and all of that, were trying to trade Stephon Gilmore. If you're truly trying to win the season, why would you do that?
Yeah, that was an interesting one, and I would assume he spoke to, you know, GMs around the league who heard Gilmore's name came up. So it's I wonder about the compensation. You know, what were you looking to get back, and how much were you looking to recoup? When you look at, you know, next year's draft, and you got that guy, you got Trevor Lawrence up there at number one, you're trying to accumulate as much draft capital as possible. So you look at seeing how, you know, what some of these defensive stars around the league who have been traded and the compensation they've gotten. I mean, it's possible the Patriots were just like, hey, you have two number one picks,
yeah,
or do you have a one and a two? And if those, you know, possibilities weren't there, I'm sure they quickly hung up. But, yeah, that was certainly an interesting one. But, you know, that's Belichick's motto, you know, sell high. And when you got a guy who's the reigning defensive player of the year and you have a really good quality group of cornerbacks, it's not bad business to see what his value would be on the trade market.
Yeah, they probably saw Adams netted two first-round picks and said, let's just take this for a stroll and see if we can get anyone to bite on it. But with Gilmore's age, I would imagine that was not on the table. Well, Jeff Howe, not afraid to put out the three letters MVP in conversation with Cam Newton. He has put that out there in The Athletic. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Howe saying Cam Newton will be MVP of the NFL this year.
He is playing fast and loose with my words there.
That's right.
Hey, look, when you're just real quick, I mean, he had a really good game. I think we all saw that. It went beyond the numbers. When you play for the Patriots, the spotlight's going to be on you. If the Patriots play like that as a team and they win more than I think a lot of people expect them to this season, there's no doubt that he's going to be in the MVP conversation. You know, Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and maybe even Josh Allen.
Oh, please. No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Yes. Bring it on.
God.
Yeah.
I know how to
you want to talk about N'Keal Harry dropping a ball. Talk about Josh Allen with he had a receiver in the end zone to seal a game. Just standing there. No one around him. Half the end zone to himself, and Josh Allen put one in about the upper deck. So let's not go crazy about Josh Allen. All right, Jeff Howell, loves Josh Allen, and he is saying that Cam Newton is the MVP, and the Patriots are winning the Super Bowl. It's going away. So put all your money on the futures. Jeff Howell, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I see kids outside matriculating. The BC High kids outside matriculating.
Yep.
Looks like they're getting into school.
My kids have the orientation today. First day of school's Wednesday.
They told my son, just stay home. Just, you don't even bother. Just you stay home. So you know what I got to do? I think I'm going to send him to private school next year. I got to do it. I always said the reason that you live in Newton, you don't have to pay for school. And now here I am. Mm. This is a wasted year for the young man. Wasted year.
Both my kids start remote this week as well. And I think one starts today and then a couple start. And then my other son starts later on in the week. I mean, it's nice because they cut off the first couple of weeks for the teachers to get prepared. And then they don't have to make up for that. It's just like a couple lost weeks, long ass summer. It's going to be weird, man.
Not even hybrid for either of you guys?
Yeah, could they go to school if they wanted to?
So one of them could have gone hybrid, but you could also choose remote. And there's a lot of kids at his school that are going remote. The other one, there was a big breakout, so you couldn't. So they had ended up having to do exclusively remote until the beginning of October.
Did you hear, speaking of breakouts, did you hear what happened in Lincoln Sudbury?
Yeah, they had a cool party. Yeah, and the dean of the school is a big square, and so he wouldn't. Yeah, Lincoln Sudbury. If you don't know, they had the kids had a party, as kids are wont to do, and then the nerdy principal or the superintendent said, "You kids suck. I'm not going to have any school in class." Which, if I was a parent, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, let's keep the grandstanding to a minimum. Like, all right, dude, what do you want to be in the paper? Oh, you had a party. Now you can't do it.
Worried about that. Worried about a spread of COVID. Right. Why is that? Right. Why is that a terrible thing?
Tell them not.
I think that the part of that story, though, that I'm fascinated by is that, you know, a bunch of them ran to the woods. I've been at a party where the cops showed up.
Oh, you got to run the woods.
That was the thing. You run to the woods.
Everyone knows. By the way, there's always a woods around a high school party.
Always. And I remember we had this massive one. It was like the Uncle Buck party, right? Everyone's like out there, and I mean, like, people on the front lawn, and the cops showed up. And you're right, half the people ran into the woods, but the one amazing part of that story was that I guess that they questioned 30 different kids, and they said the majority of them didn't give their real names.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you know how I was scared crapless when the cops showed up to this party and they asked me my name, and I'm like, I thought I was going to go to jail if I didn't give him my real name. So, I mean, the balls on some of these kids, I have to say, was fairly impressive to just, in that moment, go, you know what? I'm not going to give you my real name. I can't even imagine ever doing that to a cop when I was in high school.
Yeah. I could just sit there and you know, you're going, all right, yeah, the kids are going back to school. And then the principal goes, no, they're at a party. And if your kid wasn't even at the party, go screw. Let me in school. So, yeah, so October. So at least you have a light at the end of the tunnel if they wanted to go. I understand. But the people that are paying for that school that your kid attends, I'd imagine, well, so you go, all right, October, they can go back in. But they're matriculating like nobody's business outside. They seem to be getting along. But I digress. There's poo to talk about. So, Rich, there was, as everyone's focused on the NBA and right now in Boston with the Celtics, and obviously football started yesterday, which is very big, and we'll continue to talk about throughout the show. There was, you know, I call this, Rich, like, you know how they do media dumps? they, that, like, no pun intended, that
you know, sometimes like the Red Sox will wait until the Patriots are starting to go like, oh, hey, tickets are more expensive.
Right.
This was something that that somehow skidded past the slippery slope that is the media.
Right. This is one of the, okay, the Red Sox. Okay,
this was tossed into the pile of a diaper.
That's right.
But the of a non-NFL season. Yeah. The non-NFL news.
So this is so great. Now the Red Sox don't deserve our time. They don't deserve to be talked about. John, you know, emailed us last night saying that, you know, they are eliminated from contention for having the worst winning percentage in franchise history, but they're right there. And I can't imagine the ratings are any good, and I just don't care. Like, the Red Sox, nobody cares right now. But what happened with the Yankees the other day is fantastic. So Aroldis Chapman goes in on Saturday, and in the ninth inning, he just is acting funny on the mound. He's doing a little shimmy.
Sure.
Kind of with the legs together, and he's moving his waist a bit. To the point where Aaron Boone actually has to go out and visit him, along with one of the trainers.
Which he's got to be like, get back in the dugout.
Do not call attention to what's going on.
Yes.
So he's doing like his legs are together in the shimmy, and he's smiling. Like, he's kind of laughing, like he knows, oh boy, something bad just happened. And it was never said, like, what was going on or anything. So after the game, I want to, by the way, buy this reporter a drink. Aaron Boone was asked about, why did you visit the mound with Aroldis Chapman? It looked really weird what was going on out there. And Aaron Boone just gave us this.
Aaron, what sent you to the mound for Chapman in the ninth inning? Why did you head out there?
I was just checking on him.
What did you see, I guess?
He's fine.
Okay. It seemed like...
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. After he got the out, he was kind of laughing and he turned around to center field. What was going on with that?
He's fine. He's fine. Mother Nature okay. calls sometimes.
Oh. Okay. No follow-up.
Diarrhea. Oh, I mean, and Chapman wasn't even trying to hide after a while. He was just like doing that shimmy, his legs back and forth, and he's smiling, and he knows. Now, I've looked at the pinstripes. You can't tell. So. Right, so I don't know what was going on there.
He probably wanted to get traded to the Padres just to get some nice brown pants.
That's right.
He's like, why am I stuck in these pinstripes?
Fred, what was the first thing you thought of when you saw that?
I think there was a man who did not understand the cultural ways of the shame we as Westerners put on such matters, and he... Matter-of-factly stated what was going on.
Chan Ho Park was being interviewed after one of the games and gave us one of the all-time great post-game press conferences.
I was sick. Well, I had a lot of diarrhea. That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a lot of diarrhea.
No. It tore away my animal.
Yeah, I had a diarrhea and then... Why? Why is it funny?
No.
I mean, save it. Yeah, the off day, I had a lot of diarrhea.
All right, here is a question. All right, so Cam Newton goes out.
Yep.
And he craps all over himself, literally. Like, he has diarrhea.
Right.
Yep.
You heard Aaron Boone. That grown men, I don't care if you're the... If you're Vladimir Putin, I don't care if it's the most serious situation in the world. If the topic of diarrhea comes up, men laugh.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
I mean, it's funny. So... If Bill Belichick is in a press conference and Cam Newton said diarrhea on the field, does Bill Belichick crack a smile?
No. He's the one guy who wouldn't.
Because the whole press corps is laughing. You know Cam Newton would be laughing his ass off.
Right. He would say, oh, yeah, the squirts. Like, he'd probably lean into it, you know?
Right.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, because, I mean, at a certain point, you just got to laugh that there's no denying it. I mean, you supplied it. I mean, obviously, if Chapman had to slide into first, his pants were going to burst.
Sure. I mean, if he was going to throw it a second, you don't think he can make it. That's probably the case in this situation.
I mean, when he threw it to home, his pants started to foam.
you skipped third, where you feel a juicy surge.
Yeah, so, I mean, does Bill Belichick laugh in that situation?
Nope.
So he just like, yeah, you had diarrhea.
No, he wouldn't even address it.
He's like, no, he
had a problem. There are a lot of things that come up and during games.
So everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
Does he acknowledge the... So say we're out of the corona era, and he's at a press conference. Okay. He's not on Zoom.
Sure.
Does... In the whole, you know, there's tittering going on in the press corps because they know that Cam Newton's had diarrhea. So Bill Belichick...
Diarrhea.
Does Bill Belichick... Yeah, you had diarrhea.
We're on to Pepto-Bismol.
Perfectly natural. I don't see a problem with it.
I don't know what's funny about it. Yeah. I mean, the man, he soiled himself.
Players have to overcome discomfort on the field all the time. I don't know. Sometimes it could be an arm, it could be a leg, it could be a hamstring. He had diarrhea. What's the problem?
You know, Stidham's been in the system, and we felt comfortable putting him in there and, running a couple plays while he cleaned up.
Cam missed only a couple of plays.
Somebody said he pulled a Jamelli.
Nick was on his deathbed and he soiled the deathbed and rolled around in his own feces. I mean, it's a lot different.
Rolled around?
Yeah, he's admitted he was covered in it. He was like a naughty toddler. Nick. He lost control of his body completely.
So he said OBJ just became Chapman's biggest fan.
I think that stink is going to be on OBJ for a while.
Oh, there's no question.
That's why he can't catch the ball. That's why he had so many drops.
Oh my God, he was awful yesterday. He was really, really bad.
Yes, indeed.
Not just him.
Oh, man. That's the best. And if you can see the video, I'll try to tweet. I mean, Chapman really is doing the, like, three-year-old who has to pee really bad. Like, he's not even trying to hide it. His, legs are all this. And he's laughing, which is the best. And his friends all seem to know what's going on. Oh, everyone seems to know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. He made duty. he was out there. He made duty. I don't know what the issue is. The man had diarrhea.
Missed a couple of plays. Jared, when you're a quarterback, you got to be ready to come in at any given time. Jared, did very well. We used him for a couple of plays. The camera's right back in there.
I mean, the smell was foul. I mean, but we dealt with it.
Yeah. These guys are grown-ups. What's your problem?
I mean, the NFL does, they sanction towels. And it was just clean up on aisle six. I mean, a locker room is a friendly environment, and, he went in and he took care of business.
He did?
Yeah. I mean, it smelled of sulfur, but, and then somewhere Odell Beckham's going,
What do we have over here?
Yes.
All of a sudden, it's the DA of... Is Odell Beckham the DA of crap? Michelle Therrien, what do you think about all this?
Crap.
Why is Odell Beckham Jr., why has he booked plane tickets to Germany for the 5 years?
Crap.
That breathing is just diabolical.
He is. He's the Darth Vader of...
It's scatological.
He's scatological diarrhea, man.
Belichick, we're on to the Browns.
it was never an issue with the Browns. Bernie Kosar, he was always very clandestine about his making a mess. You know Bernie Kosar would go out there all hungover.
Sure.
They called did he take a lot of pain pills? Because that can bound you up. I don't know. It's something we'll have to discuss the next time we do All Things Considered. But that was there. I mean, while you were all watching football like suckers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people were tuned in. Ron Darling did a big breakdown of it. He went to Yale. He knows all about the gastrointestinal systems of a major league pitcher.
Sure.
Joe Biden, what do you think about all this?
We're stop work on roads and bridges. So
the sleepy fart.
The idea that Biden just passes gas, because it's really just passing gas is what he's doing. He just does it. He's old and just farts.
Okay.
That's what we just gotta...
Okay.
He's just walking around the house dusting.
The lamestream media. They're muting out his farts, and it's a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Absolutely. I watch Fox News to hear all the farts. They let them all rip.
Yeah. In fact, there's some talk that they heighten them.
They boost them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They actually have somebody, a cameraman, who can fart on command to embarrass Joe Biden. They make him think that he's the one doing it.
The incontinence kid. The leaky dam from Delaware. Devil May Care from Delaware.
The leaky dam from Delaware.
Yeah.
That might be the best nickname yet.
The King of Queefs.
Yes. All right. Well, that's why you tune into the show.
It's Marconi winning show.
To hear 10 minutes of talking about diarrhea. All right. We will be back. We'll go around the NFL.